This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
And that is a very good segue to our next story, because the government is trying to figure out how to make life slightly easier for those working in hard labour or 3D jobs during the day. And one suggestion from Prime Minister to Dr. Mahathir Mohamad is to plant paddy at night. Of course, this is just one, but applies to other 3D jobs that you have to do outside. And he said, during the day, the weather is hot and it is uncomfortable to work. So we are thinking as to whether we can change the work hours from day to night. And he goes on to say that, of course, it would be dark, but we see people playing golf at night with bright lights on. And maybe we can plant paddy at night, put on the lights, and there won't be the hot sun. So Tunem sees a few benefits to this. If more locals get involved because of better working conditions where it's less hot, it can prevent outflow of cash to other countries by reducing the amount of foreign labour in the industry. This sounds like a serious proposal on Tunem's end. It could mean a lot of changes to policies like working hours. But today, Dato' Salahuddin Ayub, the Agriculture and Agro-Based Industry Minister, said that this idea wasn't meant to be taken literally. He went on to say that the main message was to get the public to think outside the box on how to move the workforce forward. So it's been pitched as an idea, so we want to hear from you. Do you think working at night as opposed to working in the day is a good idea? You can call us 7733-2900. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio.
You know, it just so happens that yesterday I was with some friends, and we were next door to them. There was a place being built, and it was so hot, and the workers were out there in the heat of the middle of the day. And as she said, you know, the workers, they look so hot. I had to say to her, of course, you know, your husband's right there. You can't say that. But the intense heat, and we have to start thinking, as the temperature just gets hotter and hotter and hotter, we are going to have to start thinking about bearing it in mind. We delved into some research, and for instance, there's in India, some journalists at Forbes looked at the productivity of workers in India. They found that the productivity of workers in the garment manufacturing dropped by as much as 4% for every degree that temperature rose above 27 Celsius.
Right.
And today alone, if you're in KL, you will know that it has just rained. But beforehand, the heat became so intense.
Blistering.
Blistering. Now, if you're having to work outside of air conditioning, we will have to start thinking about creative solutions for the ever increasing heat.
We do. I'm just not sure how I feel about this idea, knowing the fact that the World Health Organization in 2007, they classified night shift work as a probable carcinogen because of, you know, disruption to your sleep cycle, and that's something we. It's happening right now to people who are already working to the night shift. So if we were to move a large amount of workers to working in the late hours, I just wonder if we can ever really adjust to those hours, because those who are doing it right now, they struggle with sleep deprivation, which leads to weight gain, which leads to possible mental health issues. So are we willing to then introduce policies that protect people who work in the night because of the increased risks of doing so?
Yeah, I mean, of course you're right. I mean, working at night is hell. I think I've done it myself. I've done night shifts, and it's very hard. But then I guess one thing we have to do is we have to design our way out of this as best we can. And the design of the buildings that we have now depends so much on air conditioning, which takes up a lot of energy. And yeah, although the building may be cool on the inside, we're increasing the heat on the outside. And there are ways to design green buildings. The building that we are in right now is apparently designed with these things in mind, although I cannot see it, obviously. If we look at design from the past, where we have higher ceilings, we have more air ventilation.
Yep.
But even then, I mean, an office space relying purely on air ventilation in the middle of the city, I don't know. But I'm sure that there are design practices we can do that can reduce the temperature within a building by several degrees.
And we will get some of those questions answered, because after this, we'll be speaking to Von Kok Leong, who's an architect and past president of the Malaysia Green Building Council. And we will get to him after this. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bodacious, fabulous minds. BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's the Evening Edition with Kelvin and Cam, and we are talking about this new idea from the government, just a proposal for now, that to make it more attractive to work in 3D jobs, perhaps we should move the shift from daytime to nighttime. And that's because these jobs are usually done under very hot weather, and that's the that's why this idea is gaining some traction, I guess. So we wanted to explore the angle on how design could potentially help us deal with the hot climate in the country. And to do that, we have on the line Von Kok Leong, who is an architect and past president of the Malaysia Green Building Council. Von, thanks so much for joining us on the show.
Thank you for having me.
So how conducive or unconducive is our tropical weather for working or even just being mobile outdoors?
Well, I guess as human beings, we have adapted quite well, and we live in many geographical regions. In the tropical region, I think that we have, in the early days, we have lived and taken part in almost all activities without much problems. In other words, for the fact that the tropical weather seems as if to be quite a restraint on us being productive, I think there are ways we can help improve that level of productivity to make it better and without even having to change countries or move to temperate countries. So, in terms of the whether it's conducive or not, I think tropical countries would still remain very conducive, and it is a problem that we can solve.
Okay. And how much can buildings and the urban environment exacerbate the already high temperatures we're seeing in KL?
Yes. Well, currently, I think noted that we are living in a very hot country. 3 days without rain is actually almost unbearable kind of thing.
Yeah.
Not just the water situation, but the heat. I'd like to mention a phenomenon called the urban heat island, which is not just tropical, but all over the world. It is a phenomenon whereby the cities, urban areas, tend to be hotter than the surrounding suburbs, simply because of its hard surfaces and lack of vegetation to absorb the sun. By all means, all of us are actually solar-powered. We rely on the sun a lot, and in the urban areas, we absorb a lot of sun through the buildings that we live in, the footpaths that we walk on, and that exacerbated the situation quite a bit. So in other words, for the building and the built environment, we did not do well in the past because we did not understand the urban heat island effect. We continue to build buildings out of stone, glass, steel, metal, what kind of thing, and very solid pavings, and making the urban heat island problem even worse. But having studied this problem throughout the world, there are many examples, and I've mentioned earlier, it's not just in tropical countries. Mm. People have come up with many ways. One of them is actually to have more planting on the street level, to have wider spaces between buildings, and to plant on the walls of buildings or on the roofs of buildings. All this will help. And all this can be actually come together under one umbrella, which is called green buildings. Worldwide, there are already a lot of green buildings around. And in Malaysia, we also have a lot of green buildings around. And we start from the design stage. And if you design the building properly, it will function. It will perform properly. And it will not absorb so much heat. And at the same time, too, it will be more conducive and more comfortable for everybody around. The urban heat island effect has a kind of thing called microclimate. In other words, it is the microclimate that exists between buildings, And when the sun shines for a long period of time, like in Malaysian context, the air around the buildings got heated up, so are the surfaces, and it gets into the buildings, and inside the buildings you get warm despite the fact that you don't get direct sunlight, which is why you need more aircon. You need to switch on the aircon to cool yourself down, to make yourself comfortable to do what we normally do. But that again drives up a lot more things at the other end of the aircon, which is at the power plant. They need to power up to produce more electricity. And in Malaysian context, when they produce more electricity, we burn a lot of natural fuel, like even coal or natural gas, to boil the water, to turn the turbines, create the steam, to turn the turbines to generate electricity. So each time we throw on the switch, something else happens at the other end. And when they burn all those huge amount of natural fossil fuel, and more carbon dioxide gets released into the atmosphere, and it traps the heat. And again, it becomes a vicious cycle.
This sounds horribly depressing.
It is.
But I'm going to guess, though, that you think that architects and town planners and designers are looking for solutions now. But could I ask about retrofitting? There must be swathes of cities from the last 30 years where this kind of thinking was not involved at all. Can we retrofit these areas?
Definitely. I think in the lifespan of a building, which is which can last from, what, maybe 50, 70, 90 years, any time, it goes through many cycles. And to retrofit that particular building to suit a different need in terms of to combat the urban heat island or heat gain kind of things, it's always been in the minds of designers like architects. If we just look back, throw back in the early days when Malaysia was maybe back in the 50s and 60s, where I grew up, in those era, you see a lot of buildings with white awnings, white roofs, and the kind of things. Those what you call it, like shelters or shades or sun shades kind of things, help cut down the solar heat gain. In other words, prevent the sun from hitting the window or the inside of a building. You know, so we have to go back to that kind of practices. And you can see around town many buildings. Even let's start with 20 years ago, you got KLCC, the foreign architect, also understood the need to have shading on the Petronas Twin Towers. And he introduced that as part of the architectural design, became a permanent part of the design, permanent part of the building, and it functions quite well. And people have done that to many other buildings around town. And you start to see buildings with wider eaves, sunshades over the buildings, whether it's office buildings or old buildings. You know, when old buildings get retrofitted, there is an opportunity to introduce this kind of sunshades in locations where the sun is worse. Like, for example, in the face of the building that faces the morning sun and the evening sun. That's when the sun angle is low, the penetration of the sun into the building is higher. Therefore, the introduction of sunshades would help cut down a lot of this solar heat gain.
Right. Could I ask then, the kind of buildings you're talking about which cope well then with the climate here would be, I don't know, I'm thinking like 60s modernist kind of things. But I'm wondering, what advice would you have for people who live in houses or in apartments here? What can they do themselves with their own accommodation to reduce the temperature naturally in the place where they live and perhaps in their surrounding area?
Okay, well, let's start with houses. A lot of people live in terrace houses in Malaysian context, and research has found that 75% of solar heat gain goes through the roof of an intermediate single-story terrace house. In other words, if you live in a single-story house, a terrace house, which is in the middle of a row, those are called intermediate lots, 75% of the solar heat gain comes through your roof. So the best thing to do if you need to retrofit the old building is to, or you bought an old building, you like the location, you like to move in there, is to actually, even if it's old enough, you actually need to suggest to remove the roof and put insulation, new insulation into the roof space to prevent the heat from coming down into the living spaces below. By putting insulation in the roof space, you would actually cut down a lot of that 75% of solar heat gain into the building. And especially the single-story buildings where there's actually no second floor, there's really no refuge, there's nowhere to run, you know. And so, therefore, the roof is the first thing we have to tackle. For example, for other buildings like apartments, because if you're not living on the topmost floor, you're living on the other floors, the thing you can do is actually to, if you can, to actually introduce things to your to sunshades to your windows, or even if ever possible, buy a building, buy an apartment which actually has good glass being used in the windows, because the glass does make a huge difference. When we look at glass, we look at it as being an enemy because it absorbs a lot of solar heat gain, but technology has moved on so much that glass has improved so much these days with insulated glazing units and so on and so forth that can actually cut down a lot of solar heat gain through the performance of that particular new type of glass. And if you live in low height flats or that kind of things, you do have the opportunity to, for example, if you need to repaint, you can paint your outside wall to be of lighter color, because the lighter colors tend to reflect more solar heat radiation away from that wall compared to a darker color. Imagine black and white. A black wall would absorb a lot more heat than a lighter wall. Or you can, or in any case, whether it's a terrace house, bungalow, or flats or whatever, you can plant more on the balconies, on the ground level, if you have access or control over the ground level, plant more and reduce those concrete driveways with other types of interlocking type of driveways that can actually allow some vegetation to grow and absorb the water. This kind of planting actually helps a lot because it does remove the urban heat island, reduce the urban heat island, therefore giving you a more comfortable microclimate like indoors, you know.
And Vaughan, very quickly before we let you go, for the solutions have been mostly for those living and working indoors, but what are some quick solutions for an architectural and design-based solutions for those who are mainly working outdoors in industries like agriculture?
Correct. Okay. I think as humans are concerned, we cannot survive too long under the hot sun. So one of the ways is that actually you do have a more sheltered space, not more sheltered places interspersed with each other. Apart from agriculture, keep in touch with people who work on construction sites. And these are the people who actually work outdoors for a long period of time. And they also have to put on the proper clothing to again, reflect away the heat and be smart enough to drink water and take enough rest. We are not designed to live under the sun. We are supposed to be living under the canopy of trees kind of things, you know. And but I think it's just being smart, being alert to where you are. Tropical countries, we are not as worse off as semi-arid deserts or that kind of things. But generally, we have to be smart enough to build these kind of shelters, intersperse them for us to shelter. Of course, in some other countries, they don't work during the hot hours, like they're having siestas or kind of things, but it's quite alien to Asian culture. So probably for our part is that maybe we just have a short break, drink lots of water, and stay out of the sun if you can. But that doesn't mean you don't work.
Vaughan, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts with us. That was Vaughan Kok Leong, past president of the Malaysia Green Building Council. More after this on the Evening Edition.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.